Robinhood Radio presents Between the Stacks, a weekly chat about our local libraries.
This is Rhiannon from the Northeast Millerton Library, and I'm joined by...
Hi, I'm Margaret Hask. I'm from the Cornwall, Connecticut Library.
We were asked today to talk about banning books, a very scary topic for librarians.
It is a scary topic, and I wonder what your experience has been at your library with this.
Well, we've been very fortunate that we haven't had any problems with that so far, knock on wood. Our community has always been very, I want to say independent. They are independent, but they are very, you know, kind of mind your own business people, mm-hmm. but in the best possible ways. What you do is your business, and what they do is their business, and we let everyone do what they need to do and just kind of let it go, which is a really great thing, especially when it comes to this topic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you had any experience?
We haven't had any real challenges. We've, you know, we get the occasional comment. Somebody complained that our new nonfiction was a bunch of liberal claptrap. But on the other side of things, I had Elon Musk's biography out, and one person did say, ooh, why do you have... No, two people said, ooh, why do you have that out?
Yeah.
And I said, because it's topical. It's a well-reviewed book, and it's topical, so it's out. But we haven't had any formal challenges. Mm-hmm. We did have, exactly a week ago, so last Thursday... a woman came in who was not a patron, who was inquiring about LGBTQ books in the children's area. And my staff person was trying to help her find her book, but she was very vague about it, really wasn't clear what she was looking for. She said at her library on the coast, they don't have any in the children's section. They've all been moved to the adult section. And so it was kind of a confusing conversation. Eventually, she did... say that she was looking for two books in particular to see if we had them. Mm. We did have one, but it was in the adult section, and the other one we did not have. Yeah. So my feeling was that it was a person kind of looking to see, you know, just looking to see if maybe she could cause a problem, if she was going to have a complaint. But it wasn't even her library.
Well, that sounds like you handle it exactly the way it was supposed to be handled, which is good.
I think my staff person really did. And, of course, I've spoken with everybody now who works at the circulation desk and talked to them about how to handle questions like this. We're kind of prepared because the Connecticut State Library encouraged all the libraries to review their book selection policy and their book challenge policy, which really we didn't really have one. So we're, you know, we're up to date on all that. So I feel pretty comfortable that if we were to have a challenge, we have a process for handling it.
Yes. Our system has been very proactive in encouraging every library to have this as one of our essential documents, and we do, thankfully. And, you know, collection development policies that help guide patrons to why we do the way we do it. I know for us politically, we always try to kind of keep things balanced. Like if we buy one that leans more towards the other, we try to buy another at the same time. If patrons don't have a hold on it, I'm not going to pick it up because political. I feel like political topics especially just go out of fashion so fast.
Yeah.
But if no one's waiting for it, I'm not going to worry about it.
and it's all in the news. So, so really... I will buy an analysis of something if it's over a very long term, but anything that's immediate, it just doesn't feel like it's going to have any staying power.
Mm-hmm. It's like every time, you know, for people who don't know, libraries do a thing that's called weeding, that, you know, every so often you go through and you see the things that aren't going out to make room for the stuff that's coming in, and... Why, hands down, it's always like whatever was the du jour book in politics like 3 years ago is already no longer of interest.
Absolutely. It went out eight times, you know, in the first 2 weeks, and then nobody wanted to look at it again.
Yep.
That's the kind that gets gets pulled, yeah. But we also, you know, I try to be responsive to my patrons and get the books that I think they will want. So I'm not going to buy a book that I really feel they're absolutely not going to want to read. That just doesn't seem sensible to me. If the information is generally available, then I wouldn't buy one that I thought would not circulate at all.
Yeah. I mean, so few libraries have the funds just to be, like, taking chances.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah,
we have to make sure everything is earning its, its keep on our shelves.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was looking through a list of banned books, and I don't know. I'm sure you have something like this in your library, too. And this was prepared by the Woodbury Public Library, Woodbury, Connecticut. And it is hard for me personally to understand why some of these books were banned. And it strikes me that it's very easy to avoid being offended by a book because you just don't read it.
Yeah.
It just seems that easy to me. And for children's books, our written policy is that's up to the parents to decide what the children are going to read.
Yeah.
We don't decide that. I buy the books, and I try to buy books I think children will enjoy reading, but I don't make that decision for parents.
Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't want us making these decisions for your children. I'm sure somewhere along the line we wouldn't agree on something. But, you have to. We try to have as many options for every member of our community.
Yeah. Right, and there are lots of reasons books aren't on our shelves. You know, it's surprising to me to find that, Goodnight Moon was not on New York City shelves, for ages because the head librarian didn't like it. She just didn't like it.
Wow.
It's hard to understand now that, that something like a personal opinion like that would make such a difference in a particular book, and it's still on some banned book lists, I think.
Huh. That surprises me. It's like I always not expect, but you see, like, the Harry Potters and things like that.
Right.
But Goodnight Moon.
I know. Mm. It's one of the sweetest stories ever told, so I don't know what to make of that.
No,
she didn't like it. She thought it was too sympathetic, and so she
they need to be tougher kids.
Yeah.
For November, NaNoWriMo, which is a abbreviation for National Novel Writing Month.
Oh wow!
Yeah, so we have kids coming over from Hotchkiss to help some of our young writers. Possibly start or complete a novel, or maybe just discover that they like writing. Yeah.
That's very exciting.
That is. I'm very excited about it. We're going to be having it once a week. It starts, the very first next week. So they can pop over to our calendar and check out the different dates that we have scheduled, but it's, which is nemillertonlibrary.org.
In November, we have a turkey trot, which is sort of a bit of a fun run on Thanksgiving Day itself, and we have a really nice. Well, we have a lot of nice things coming up. We have a International Poetry Day, which is pretty phenomenal. We have a person in town who pulls together poets from all around the world, India, Japan, Brazil, everywhere, and they all come in via Zoom to the Little Cornwall Library and share their poetry.
That's amazing.
It's phenomenal. It really is phenomenal. It's one of my favorite events. We do it twice a year. And we have, let's see what else we have. We have a talk on local involvement in the Civil War.
Oh.
And then we have one of our favorite things, Cornwall Reads Cornwall, which is it's held in a church because you get a big audience, and it's local people from Cornwall reading pieces that have been written in Cornwall. And this year, they're reading bits from the Cornwall Chronicle, which is a newsletter that's been going out for decades in Cornwall. And they have kids, they have people of all ages reading it. So we have some little kids this year, going right up to, more of our mature people here in town. So that's a very fun event too.
We have a local history program going on as well. Well, it's our Northeast Historical Society has their annual meeting in our annex in November. So leading up to that, they have an exhibit in the library, which is the history of schools in Northeast. So it goes starting with the one-room schoolhouses, leading all the way up to present day. Some of the pictures are really, really fun.
I bet. That sounds wonderful. Yeah.
And then they're going to have their annual meeting on November 16th, I believe at 2 o'clock. And it's going to be covering one of our very well-known teachers, Violet Simmons, who anyone who's been into the library, if you look over our fireplace, her photograph is up over the fireplace.
Mm-hmm.
She taught in Weebatuck her entire life. What she was able to do, like I was talking with them a little more about her and just hearing some of the stories, which I'm not going to tell here because you need to go and hear them. But and this one teacher who just grew up in Millerton was able to pull in people you would never have believed to come talk to her class. And she ultimately left a very nice size endowment to several not-for-profits in the community, and we are very grateful to be one of them. And so they're going to be doing a talk on her life. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
In these small towns, one person can make a huge contribution.
Absolutely.
Well, it was nice talking to you.
Yep. Look forward to talking to you again next month.
Between the Stacks is produced at the facilities of Robin Hood Radio 91.9 FM, Sharon, Connecticut.